Hi, we're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene on All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. Joining me this morning, WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak and his son Rich, Steve Stover, who writes about restaurants for Edible Columbus and City Scene magazines.
Good morning, Marilyn.
We're going to do a quick little review of a couple of restaurants that we visited recently. C Senor and T. Murray's, a brand new place at Beck and High.
Right. Well, C. Senor has to be said with a Peruvian accent. It's run by a family from Peru, and it's on Long Street in the Atlas Building. It's about the only thing left in that building. It's a very popular lunch spot, and they have some great Peruvian sandwiches. And I've been there a few times and have never been disappointed. The last time we were there, Rich, you had the chicken sandwich that I had originally.
Yeah, the chicken sandwich on a great, terrific ciabatta bread that they do most of their sandwiches on. It had a manchego cheese, which is a Spanish cheese that I absolutely love. And then I think the one you had, the chicharrón peruana.
Yeah, the pork shoulder that had been roasted and then pieces of it pulled apart and kind of fried up a little bit. Mm-hmm. That comes off a little bit drier, but it was still good. The sauces on these things are terrific.
Yeah, it was dry, but then it had some pickled onions or peppers on it, I think, that kind of moistened it up a bit. And then they have this terrific hot sauce. It's kind of, you think of hot sauce, you think of, cayenne or red pepper. This is actually kind of a yellow-greenish hue. It's actually like habaneros, garlic, onion, I think even a little tomato that they roast and with the olive oil over it, and then kind of emulsify it into a hot sauce, and it's damn hot, but it's damn good.
Yeah, it really is good. And then they have the bargain of the day is the empanada, which is pretty darn big. It's $3.50, and it could be lunch. It's essentially ground meat with a little bit of onion in it. It's unusual. It has some sweetness to it, a little bit of powdered sugar on top. But we'd recommend that as well. Marilyn, you had?
I had the jumping beef sandwich, which was just some beef with vegetables. But again, it was on one of their ciabatta rolls. It was very good. And I think it may have been $4.50, $5 at the most.
Yeah.
Maybe the most striking thing about this place is its lack of parking, which for people coming from out of downtown is often challenging. And it's around 20, I think, East Lawn, High Street. And it fills up very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get there early.
It's small. The ceilings are low for a downtown building. It's
is it in the corner?
It's far east corner.
Bats Cafe. Okay.
That's where it used to be.
They do have an open kitchen to the restaurant, and they're not big on AC. I think they keep it Peruvian style.
It was a hot day, too.
It was an exceptionally hot day.
Like
but a terrific place. Maybe better if you work downtown for takeout just because it gets so packed, but a really, really good food.
And then the other place that we visited just a couple of days ago, T. Murray's Kitchen and Bar and Kitchen, where the Highbeck Tavern is.
560 South High Street, yeah.
It's next to the Highbeck in the old, if you remember, Barrister Hall, which was an old kind of jazz location in Columbus. That was probably a good 10, 12 years ago. But it's been through several reincarnations that haven't been terribly successful. This one, the gentleman, he's got a couple partners in it as well, but Tony Murray, who's the namesake, is a longtime bartender from Lindy's in German Village and has a big following. He's a real popular guy. I actually used to work with him when I worked there in high school at Lindy's, and great guy. And hopefully that just his namesake and recognition will bring people in the door, and hopefully the food will keep them there.
We sent him to work as soon as we could. It's really well done. It's a beautiful place. It compares favorably to its next door neighbor. But the menu was very good. It's not huge, but one of the things you got to try is the pulled pork sandwich, which I had the first time and was really pleased with. And it's served with pickled kind of sweet peppers and some onion and a good sauce again on it.
And a caper mayonnaise, which is a little different. Capers aren't for everybody, but I thought it was a nice touch. And it's on almost like a French bread roll.
Yeah, kind of a sourdough.
Sourdough or French, yeah. And very good. That's what I had.
With kind of, seasoned fries, and you can dip the fries in the mayonnaise and pretend you're in Toronto. Marilyn, you had...
I had the sliders, which apparently change out regularly. On this day, they were small hamburgers with blue cheese, and they were very, very tasty. The meat was very well seasoned, and they were very good.
What else do they have for the sliders? They're not always hamburgers.
They're
right?
Sometimes lamb. I think they even have done them with like salmon cakes. They mentioned.
And sometimes the pork that they use
okay,
for the pulled
pork
sandwich.
But they were good. I thought in general the price points were extremely reasonable at this restaurant, mm-hmm. except for the sliders. They were $9, and they were smaller sliders. Very tasty, of course. Great buns. But I thought that was the one thing that I thought was unreasonably priced. Other than that, I mean, the pulled pork sandwich was $8, I think.
Right.
And, you know, and it comes with fries. So, yeah, overall, though, and the dinner menu as well, I mean, they're
all under $20 except for the filet.
Yeah, the most expensive thing is filet at $29, and that's just for the price of the protein. Other than that, almost everything is, you know, that kind of $15 to $20 price point.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice place for that price point.
Yeah, Christina Remley is the is the chef, and she's doing a good job. They do also cut their own fries.
Oh, yeah, you could tell. Yeah, and I think Christina came over from another favorite of ours, Black Creek Bistro.
Right.
So good experience there.
It was very nice. I think a couple of notable things. The parking is easier. There are meters around the building, but Rich, your eagle eye proved out. It's well attended.
I had to run up from lunch out to the street to throw quarters in the meter because I saw the guy.
For those looking for a private dining area, too, they have an upstairs that they fill up on the weekends with the regular restaurant crowd, but you can reserve that. It probably holds 50 people and has a separate bar.
And perhaps we should note that the wait staff is going to have to be athletic if they aren't so already. There are 23 steps that they have to go up to the kitchen.
The kitchen is upstairs on the second floor. I think it's a new thing because back when it was Barrister Hall, that whole second floor was just, you know, bar and kind of table area. So I think they've put the kitchen in on the second floor. But, yeah, they've got quite a trek to get down to the tables on the first.
Marilyn, there's one other place that I don't know we've talked about, and that was Alexis, Lexi's.
Just Lexi's, yeah.
Lexi's, which is on the corner of
Broad and Third.
Broad and Third in the Chase Building, and they have an outside patio area. Lexi is the daughter of Danny's Deli, and there are a lot of similar sandwiches. I don't want to take up all of our time with these.
Corned beef and pastrami, especially the corned beef, perfectly moist. Comes on Swiss cheese on a rye bread. Amazing dish. I think it's just as good as Danny's, and the atmosphere is a lot nicer. Danny's, if you haven't been, it's a terrific restaurant, very popular, especially with the folks in the Huntington Center and Fifth Third buildings. Mm-hmm. It's on Front Street, kind of almost underground with, you know, only about 8 or 9 foot ceilings, very crowded. Lexi's is a really open space. It's actually got an outdoor patio where they're doing happy hour as well.
Kind of a cafeteria-style setup where you go up to the counter and order your food.
No servers, right.
This, too, becomes very crowded very quickly. And the day we were there was a fire drill, which was kind of an unexpected.
Right when we finished, thankfully.
Yes, and dramatic exit for
we
us.
We did pay our bill, though, nonetheless.
Well, you pay right up front, and they do have three registers, which is another nice thing. There are a couple places down there downtown, I won't mention them by name, where there's only one register, and you know the line is the lines get 20, 25 deep, and it's almost makes you walk away.
Now, one other thing that I had the opportunity to taste this week, and Steve did a complete survey on, was the Ohio State Fair. We were doing a cooking class, and after the cooking class, I got the poultry vendor's turkey salad, which was terrific. But Steve and Mary did the circuit.
Well, there are only 3 more days left at the fair, and I hope everybody will go out because there's a lot of fun to be had. But we admonish you, and I hope the others will agree, that don't go to the fair and eat at fast food places, because there are some wonderful places to eat at the fair, particularly at the Heartland Pavilion.
That's the cafe.
That's the round building that used to be the transportation building at the southern end of the fair. I've had a grueling week judging heritage recipes and the Pillsbury Bake Off, and then Rich and I did our demonstration on Wednesday, and we did a complete circumnavigation. You have chicken, pork, lamb, beef, dairy, corn, and wine, and Marilyn's done the wine.
But I haven't done the wine. I've reported on the wine, I, of course, refrained from enjoying the wine because I was on duty.
On duty, of course.
Well, they gave us a little – we had to use some wine for cooking, and so we had to taste it before we made our chutney. But
and these are all Ohio
All Ohio commodities, and some of the cute things. Well, as Rich said, we went to the chicken one because they were we were demonstrating chicken, and Rich had the salad, and I actually had a turkey dinner that's, what, $8?
Yeah, $7.75.
Turkey, incredible dressing, mashed potatoes, a squishy roll, little green beans like out of the can, and it was very tasty and a great price. And Mary had the chicken and noodles, which was on mashed potatoes, not that she hadn't had enough carbs this week, and that was nice. But then there's some other fun things. The pork producers have a pork
parfait,
barbecue parfait, which has shredded pork and mashed potatoes and a cherry tomato on the top.
And I did enjoy a lamb sandwich when I was at the
It was really wonderful.
Speaking of lamb, if you're down there today, actually, there's a contest going on at that pavilion for lamb preparation.
This isn't where the little 3 and 4 year olds ride the muffin.
No. Arts and crafts are down at the pavilion.
I think in the cooking pavilion, actually, because someone sent me an email about it saying this sounds like it'd be up your alley. I said I wish I could. I'd be on the air at that time, but that's going on today.
And I'm a huge
lamb fan.
Barbecue lamb and gyro and sandwiches. The pork producers have these thing called pig wings, which are little pieces of pork on sticks. And the beef, the ribeye steak and burgers, the dairy, ice cream shakes and sundaes, sweet corn on the cob and other corn products and the wines. And so really, it's really fun to go to the fair and enjoy the foods there.
And
so
you don't have to eat the fried Kool-Aid or fried Oreos.
Or the donut cheeseburger.
Yes. Well, we saw the donut
cheeseburger. One. I heard about that.
You saw one.
It was sort of gross.
Two raised glaze
really?
With a burger in between.
Two Krispy Kreme donuts with a burger and all the trimmings
in between. The moral of the story is there is decent food to be had also at the
fair.
And
I think the building's air-conditioned.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. Always crowded.
It was jammed when we were there. We could barely find a place to sit, so hi ho, come to the fair.
I'd like
Maryland.
To say they were all in rapt attention to our cooking class, but there were probably about 20 people who paid attention to the class and 70 who showed up to eat the
So they multiplied.
Senator Voinovich is demonstrating chicken today at 1, too,
wow.
By the way.
292-8513. We are talking about food and restaurants here on All Sides Weekend with WOSU restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Steve Stover, who not only judges fair food, but writes about food for Edible Columbus and City Scene magazines. We will take calls from you, questions from you as well, 292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. One of the things that we've only got a minute here before the break, so I don't think I'll start on any big topic. We should probably mention, though, in conjunction with wine at the fair, they're also selling Ohio brewed beers at the fair. These are available in the Celeste Center, I think, during concerts and lottery events. Mm. So I don't know if you got a chance to go over there and throw back some
I wanted
brews.
To see meatloaf, but I thought it was a dinner.
Oh, boy.
Well, that was a long way for
food
that.
Humor.
Thanks for that softball, Barrel.
292-8513. We will take a break here with Charlie Pickard and be back in just a moment.
President Obama went on national TV and basically gave up. He said, look, Congress won't listen to me. Maybe you guys can talk some sense into them. And the nation responded, flooding the Capitol switchboards and crashing their servers. It worked so well, the president asked citizens.
Checking the weather forecast for Central Ohio. By the way, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is here each Saturday morning at 11 o'clock on 89.7 NPR News with your host, Peter Sagal, and, of course, his sidekick, Carl Castle, and a panel of experts, and some regular folks, too, seeing what they know about the week's news. Now, that weather forecast. Mostly sunny today with a high of 90 degrees. Cloudy skies tonight could have a shower or thunderstorm, a low of 73. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 86. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and a low of 71. On Sunday, partly sunny and a high of 89. Right now, we have 84 degrees at our studios on the OSU campus.
And we're back with All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover, who writes about restaurants for Edible Columbus and City Scene magazines. Adam is joining us, who's kind of feeding right into our agenda here, wants to talk about Harvest Pizzeria, and that's on the list. Hi, Adam.
How are you guys doing?
Very well.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I just had a quick recommendation. The new Harvest Pizzeria is open on 4th Street. It's in German Village. I've been there a couple times, and it's fantastic. I got this stone oven where the pizza comes out of, and I think it fills a big void in Columbus as far as quality pizza goes. They also have good appetizers like olives and, you know, all kinds of great
sardines and yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I can tell you've been there.
Yeah, actually we were just about to talk about it, Adam, and we could not agree more. At least my dad and I have each been there separately. And I loved it. We had a couple pizzas. I went with my wife and a couple friends. We did the fennel sausage pizza, which was really good. It has Gouda cheese, smoked provolone, and an onion on it with a red sauce. The thing about Harvest that I think is so good is the stone oven, and the crust is tremendously thin but crispy and delicious, very kind of Neapolitan style. And, you said it's a great addition to Columbus. I think more than anything, it's a great addition to German Village. I used to live down there, and for all the great food down there, you could never find a good pizza. And it's really, really picked up that neighborhood as far as that goes. There's very little signage for Harvest. I just want to mention for the listeners, it is right off of Livingston on 4th by about one building.
It's 495 South.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Just south of Livingston. Yeah, it's a great place. It's a good looking place. They've done a good job with it. The seating is somewhat limited. The crust. I was talking to the chef, and there isn't enough room to do the bread dough there. They're getting it the artisan stuff from Omega at the North Market.
North Market, okay.
Which is a great quality product, and so it kind of speaks for the other ingredients that they're using. They have a small bar. They have a nice patio. I'd agree. It's, you know, the quality is right up there.
This has only been open for a very short time, and from my research yesterday, this is a local couple who apparently farm an acre of land in Canal Winchester.
And sounds like the Black Creek Bistro.
Yeah.
Well, it's
a
not.
New trend, yeah.
His name is, and
that was the only other thing I just wanted to point out before I let you guys go, sure. Is that there was a lot of locally sourced kind of stuff on the menu with the meats and cheeses and
bacon
and all kinds of good stuff. So thanks a lot for your program. And
Chris, the owner, has worked in lots of restaurants. He managed Martella's and a number of other places beforehand, so I think he knows how to get it done.
And as Adam mentioned also, they do have some very interesting small plates for a pizza restaurant. I mean, you know, olives and then sardines. They have foie gras.
I noticed.
And then apparently their warm ricotta appetizer is a big favorite of many people. I also tried the house chopped salad that had chickpeas, cherry tomatoes, ricotta, olives, which a couple of those ingredients I don't normally love, and it was delicious.
Open for both lunch and dinner, mm-hmm. And I think they're open just about every day but Sunday.
And a great cocktail menu as well. They feature some of the OYO vodkas in a few of their drinks. I had I think it's called a back porch iced tea or something with OYO vodka. It was delicious, especially since it was 92 degrees on the patio.
As you mentioned, they do serve their pizza, or prepare their pizza in the Neapolitan style, and they do have a margarita with fresh mozzarella, basil, and garlic, which I understand is pretty much of a staple in Naples.
Absolutely. I mean, that's an Italian pizza.
Once again, it's the Harvest Pizzeria at 495 South 4th Street. And we have another caller on the line, Barry. Go ahead, Barry.
Hello, yes, I recommended an African restaurant called Medina Market. It's on South Hamilton Road and Refugee Road. It's 2116 Hamilton Road. They have very fresh, good lamb, fish, grilled chicken, barbecue, and Western African dishes. It's very good. It's very healthy. It's very tasty. And I recommend everybody just to walk in and see.
Did you say the 3100 block of South Hamilton? Is that what I heard?
It's 3116 South Hamilton Road.
Great.
And what's the name again?
It's Medina Market.
Medina Market Restaurant. It's very fresh, very healthy, and very good. And the highest price for any food is $9.
That's good.
Wow, that's great.
And you say it's West African?
Yes, Western African. Senegal, Mauritania, Guinea, Ghana, Benin, and,
Okay.
Great.
I'll be certain to try that out. That's my end. I'm over on that area of town. So.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your call today, Barry. 292-8513.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Doug is joining us and is looking for a recommendation for a Cambodian restaurant.
Yes, hello. I'm just wondering if anybody knows where you can get Cambodian food or if there's a Cambodian restaurant in Franklin County or around Central Ohio.
You may have stumped the panel.
Yeah,
everyone's looking
have.
a little perplexed.
We have a lot of Thai.
And we had several Vietnamese as well.
One in Boston.
Well, is there any place that, say, specializes in Vietnamese or Thai that might also serve Cambodian?
Huang, maybe?
Up on Sankas?
Yeah.
Halong Bay.
Okay. And then, you know, I always mention Indochine Cafe on South Hamilton that's kind of Thai, Vietnamese, and Lao.
And is the place on South North Front still open? The Vietnamese place? I'm blanking on it.
Oh, Shangri-La.
Saigon Palace.
Saigon Palace, right.
Yeah, it's still open. It's great.
But
yeah.
Specifically Cambodia, nothing's flying to my mind, unfortunately.
What was the name of the restaurant on Sankas?
It used to be Halong Bay, HALONGBAY, but I'm looking for it, looking it up here to see if it's still there. And let's see.
And then the other place, that Huang, which is Vietnamese, that's on 161, I think. Is that right?
Okay.
And what's the one on Refugee?
That's Bangkok, which is the Thai place. That's very Thai.
47. Halong Bay, Vietnamese Kitchen. You want to call first.
Did you find it?
Because they come and go, yeah.
Okay.
Halong Bay. Let's see here. Sankas Boulevard, Vietnamese cuisine. It's very plain, but it's a full-service restaurant. And Halong Bay, Vietnamese kitchen. There you go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, we were talking before we went on the air about the dearth of Moroccan restaurants. Apparently, Cambodia is not well represented either. But when I moved here, and I was just college-aged at the time, I think there were just two or three significant restaurants in the city of Columbus, and we certainly have come a long, long way.
Yeah, no one would have guessed that we could have published a guide of the size that Steve is holding it from the Columbus Monthly. It really is true. And the representation of various ethnic restaurants is just terrific. We're pointing out that we can't find a Cambodian one. I'm sure there's one out there. Maybe somebody can call and let us know.
We were just talking about Peruvian, but
as long as you can find something of that region where you can generally find those flavors, you know, that's you know, like somebody you know called in asking for Moroccan. You know, I might recommend some other kind of North African, kind of Mediterranean, like lavash or something to them. So, I mean, you can always find something very similar. You know, if we can't think of a Cambodian place, something in, you know, from Southeast Asia that kind of tends to incorporate those same flavors and items.
The Grumpy Gourmet, if you all remember, the Grumpy Gourmet from the Citizen Journal just turned 90, and I've left him a message, but I haven't talked to him to see if he's still as curmudgeonly as ever, but he made the point that 30 years ago, the ethnic restaurants in Columbus were Giam Long, Yong Mei, and Prasutti's. So we've come a long way.
Don't forget Kahiki.
In the last 30 years,
yes.
The Polynesian restaurant.
Yeah. The mystery drink.
Well, one of the things we did want to talk about today were some of the hidden treasures and secret pleasures that the city holds for us. And you just mentioned lavash, and that's one of the restaurants that comes up. Every time we have a program dedicated to food and restaurants. Steve, do a little recap. It's on North High Street.
It's on North High Street, north of Doddridge, on the west side of the street. It's a new build. And Nasser Latif, the owner, just does such a fabulous job. The place is just spotlessly clean. The food is perfectly presented and served. And it's not inexpensive, but it certainly is a great value for the dollar. And he's always so warm and friendly, and he tries to give you a little taste of this and a taste of that. He took us out. He's got grapes growing in a little arbor on the side now. But it's Middle Eastern cuisine at its best in Columbus. And we even the other night, we were just couldn't figure out what to have. We wanted something healthy. And we got some hummus, some baba ganoush. They have a fabulous spicy black bean and some pita. And a bottle of wine, and we were not there. We couldn't buy a wine there. But we had a lovely evening. And he also insisted that we have some kefta or something because he's always so generous. But that's a great one. And people don't think about that.
Right. One of the other ones that we mentioned now and then, but we forget about how good it was, how good it is, rather. Don't use past tense, is Bassi Italia in Victorian Village. Ran into Johnny last night, who was doing some charity work for Ohio Health, and he did some great little corn cakes with lobster on them and a little bit of guacamole on top of that. It was terrific. Great, unusual, but very tasty food.
When Michael Ruhlman was here a couple months ago, that was just about his favorite place. John Dornbach, Bassi Italia.
And that's at 811 Highland, which is an alley that runs behind Neal Avenue. Everybody thinks it's very difficult to find Bassi Italia, but it...
Between Hubbard and Buttles.
And
that's
Buttles.
Right.
It's very...
It is tough to find. I mean...
Well, I suppose...
If you haven't been there.
If you don't know where it is. But it really is just directly east of Neal Avenue.
And if you're looking for patio dining, it's a great place.
Yeah, they actually have a larger patio probably than they do an inside of the restaurant.
I think you're absolutely right.
Rich, I finally got up to Sawmill. I had to take the car up there for some service. And
What's new?
The congestion up there kind of drives me crazy. But I got to Vincenzo's, and I picked up one of those sandwiches at lunch, and I could barely get through half of it. It was incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, they're enormous. They're the size of a football.
And this is a little
sandwich,
place.
Not the calzone.
No, not the calzone, okay. The sandwich.
Right. This is a little place that specializes mostly in Italian takeout.
They only have two interior tables, and then they sell wine as the retail wine vendor, and then they sell some specialty ingredients imported from Italy that you won't find at your typical store. But it's a great place. I think people up in Dublin know of it. Other than that, it's in a strip mall, kind of at the very corner.
It's at the Trader Joe's.
Up at 161 in Sawmill.
Great place.
But terrific sandwiches. They bake all their own breads fresh. It's a place I discovered. You know, being from the east side, it was a hidden gem to me, because I don't normally,
went there too one day on your recommendation, and the subs are on a loaf of bread.
Let's
not kid anybody.
It's a loaf of bread. Right.
It's not a bun.
No.
Black Creek Bistro, by the way. Oh, go ahead.
Well, have they moved?
Not yet.
It's only been 2 or 3 years.
That's right.
He said when he took me through there 2 years ago, it'd be 2 or 3 years.
Ken Peters and his wife.
They're doing the work themselves.
Yeah. They bought the Columbus Music Hall. This is on Oak. Just south of Broad, Parsons and Oak.
Yeah,
Parsons and Oak, and it's a wonderful new American cuisine. And the other part of it is that Leslie works for a distributor, and they have wonderful wines at bargain prices, like $7 over state minimum.
And you can park across the street, prior to them buying the building, you could not do. But.
And we've heard from Howard on Facebook, who's recommending a Thai Cambodian restaurant called Thai Paradise in Pickerington. Hill Road. It's at 805.
On Hill Road?
Hill Road North.
That's 256, okay.
So once again, it's Thai Paradise for our caller who was looking for Cambodian food in Pickerington.
I'm going to check that out too, actually. It's east side, for sure.
Well, Rich, you were just at Need. Or was it Maryland?
No, actually, we were there a while ago. Again, at this event
Another
last night,
Need
was providing some. They had a terrific little sandwich with some pesto sauce, some portobello mushrooms, some mozzarella. Using local source items, they now have a much more extensive menu than when Rich and Marilyn and I tried it earlier about probably 9 or 10 months ago. Mm-hmm. They're on North High Street, right across from the convention center. They do all their own stuff, including their baked goods.
Yes. Krista does the baking, and Rick is the chef.
Yeah. That's a hidden treasure, and don't give up on parking. you can
park at the North Market.
You can park
it right around the corner
and buy something at the North Market.
Get Jenny's ice cream afterwards and get your ticket validated.
There you go.
Now we're talking.
That's what I do.
It's make an evening of it. Oh, Thurn's on Greenlawn. Can I make a plug?
Sure.
We were just down there last Saturday. Wonderful treasures. It's a family-owned sausage, and they make their own hams on Greenlawn Avenue. Just west of 71. They're only open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning, but it is a real, real treasure to Columbus. Albert Thurn and his family have been making these kind of sausages and lunch meat, the best breakfast sausage on the planet, and smoked sausages, bratwurst. It's a great place to go in the summer.
Yep.
And there's a long article, I think, about Thurn's in one of the recent Edible Columbus magazines.
Great.
All about their process and all about the family history. And as you've said,
it's been around over 100 years, I think.
If you want to smoke turkey for Thanksgiving, place your order now. they do a lot of them, and they're great.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants and food on All Side Weekend. Mitchell is joining us and has a question about certain ethnic cuisine. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to find out if there are restaurants in town that has Cajun or Creole food, anything like that. I've been to New Orleans, and I can't find anything. I didn't know if there was anything like that around town.
There are several imitators, I think. The only place that I have found that really has great kind of New Orleans Creole food is called Creole Kitchen over on, I believe it's Mount Vernon.
Henry Butcher's Creole Kitchen.
On the Near East Side. It's not in a great neighborhood. I'd probably recommend going during the day for lunch, but it is fantastic, incredibly seasoned, wonderful food. There's no real area to eat in there. It's a takeout business.
Well, there's one little table.
There's one little, but yeah, I wouldn't count on it being open because the place is quite popular. Okay. But yeah, their jerk wings are absolutely fantastic.
It's Henry and his son.
Yeah.
Henry, he's been around forever.
Yeah, and that's the one place I would go if you're looking for Creole food.
That's our guy that makes the po' boy sandwiches.
Johnny Oakes
on North High Street and
Patterson. Maybe.
Patterson, yeah. Don't look for a sign. it's on the
east side of High Street.
Yeah, the east side, the northeast corner of Patterson and North High.
Well, it's better than the trailers he's been over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, he's actually got a place.
There are two tables inside.
And he's really a character. It's worth going just to say hello.
Yeah.
292-8513, and John is joining us this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I wanted to let the listener know that the West Side also has something to offer in the area of ethnicity and authenticity and healthy food. We had a dinner at a place called the Olive Tree Cafe in Hilliard, and they have a very extensive menu. And there are about 13 or 14 Mediterranean countries represented in the menu. They offer Moroccan couscous. They have all kind of lamb kebab. They have incredible menu. And now they started Mediterranean breakfast on Sundays only.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
That was the Olive Tree
and Hilliard.
Yeah. And what's the address?
3185, I believe it's on Hilliard Rome Road.
Okay.
Thanks very much for your contribution today. 292-8513. We have just a couple of minutes, seconds here, actually, before the break. I think perhaps, Charlie, if you're ready, we'll go ahead and do that now, and we'll be right back with All Sides Weekend.
On the next Fresh Air, Jonathan Eig takes us back to the Roaring Twenties in Chicago, when cops and judges were on the take, bootleggers mowed each other down with Tommy guns, and Al Capone bragged to reporters about his underworld clout. Eig's book, Get Capone, The Secret Plot That Captured America's Most Wanted Gangster, is out in paperback. Join us.
Fresh Air comes your way in about 20 minutes at 12 noon here on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Columbus Recreation and Parks, presenting bluegrass and gospel band Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver at Bicentennial Park as part of the Rhythm on the River series, Friday evening, August 12th at 8. More at scioto-mile.com.
The weatherman says sunny skies today and a high of 90 degrees, cloudy tonight and a chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm, a low of 73. On Saturday, mostly cloudy and a chance of showers, a high of 86. By Sunday, we'll have partly sunny skies and a high of 89 degrees is expected.
Support for 89.7 comes from Meijer, a family-owned Midwest supercenter giving away over 7 million antibiotics, 500,000 metformin pills, and 1 million prenatal vitamins. More information is available at Meijer.com.
Tonight at 9 o'clock on Channel 34, Andre Bocelli returns to his native Italy for a concert of his greatest hits along with the debut of new songs. Watch great performances, Andrea Bocelli live in Tuscany tonight, 9 p.m. on Channel 34.
And we're back with All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about food and restaurants today with Steve Stover, who writes about food and restaurants for Edible Columbus and City Scene magazines, along with the Terrapax, Rich and Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU.
The boys, as we call them.
One of the things that I wanted to mention, just in doing some research and reading, there is a new pizza place downtown called Element Pizza, where the Plugged Nickel used to be. I don't think anyone at the table here has eaten there yet.
I heard that. I didn't want to talk on it since I haven't tried it yet.
But this is a location, I think, just on 3rd.
Plugged Nickel
on 3rd.
Right at Chestnut?
Right, yes, I think you're right.
You're just coming off the freeway. It's the first light.
Yeah, yeah.
On the left.
If you're coming off
of
670.
The southeast corner.
Southeast corner.
Across from the Red Roof Inn.
But it'd be a great place for lunch, and I think they do make personal-sized pizzas. I don't know if they're going to be delivering or how they're going to work that out. Because, again, coming from over here at the Fawcett Center, for me to go downtown, parking is always an issue.
You wanted to mention Columbus Dine Originals.
Columbus Dine Originals, although it's not a Dine Originals week, they do have gift certificates on their website that are available, I think, at 25% off. There's a series of restaurants in the area. So if you're thinking about going someplace perhaps that you hadn't tried before, this is a good way. Catalina's Cafe Corner, Milo's Deli, Chili Verde, Mozart's Bakery, Spinelli, Surly Girl, Tazi, a number of places that you might want to try at
Katzinger's.
A discount.
Yeah, there are now 55 members of Dine Originals, so you get lots of choices.
The ever-expanding Dine Originals.
It's a wonderful thing.
That reminds me, I also wanted to mention there's a new, I mentioned it about a year ago when they conceived of the idea, but a new food tour company that's gotten started up in Columbus called Food Hop. They have done a few private inaugural tours so far, and I think they have a cigar and scotch tour coming up.
And a sushi tour.
Also a sushi tour the following week. Yeah. You can find them on Facebook. They're called Food Hop, but might be interesting to check out.
So how many people are they taking?
Use vehicles from an actual transportation firm, so they can do it based on the size of the group they get. I think typically it's like 8 to 12 people, but it's a good size. You know, one of those. It's almost like a transportation bus, but they do pretty fun stuff. I imagine it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
292-8513. Nancy's joining us from Granville this morning. Hi.
Hello. I'm on.
Yes, you're on.
Okay. I didn't hear anybody mention the Lock Viette.
North Market.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own store now as well.
Where is it?
Oh, okay. This the restaurant that I've gone to is out on Bethel, in the Bethel Center, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they make the best soup, noodles, lots of broth, and they make their own broth. It's a very simple place, but boy, is that good.
Right. The soup is called pho, and it's a traditional Vietnamese soup consisting of vermicelli rice noodles, basil, bamboo shoots. You can do chicken or beef. They started in the North Market.
Lemongrass.
Yeah. And they started in the North Market and they created such a following that they've now got their own store.
And it's also good in the North Market for a carry out or eat in.
Yeah, and
I
couldn't agree more. They do terrific stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And they also offer a lamb version of the soup, and it's just outstanding.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I did ask them, because I was so impressed with the stock. I said, tell me about your stock. And he said, well, we make it the old-fashioned way, with bones and long, slow cooking. So I believe it. I've never been in.
That's the only way it should be done. You can't fake it.
That's
what makes pho.
Wonderful Vietnamese sandwiches on French bread with banh mi, and there are several different flavors. And that's a great lunch for like $3 at the North Market.
They're very reasonable. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much
for your call today,
Nancy. 292-8513, and Jane is with us from Whitehall. Hi,
this is Jane.
Yes,
Jane. I have two must-go-to restaurants to recommend.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay, let's see. The first one is Moy's.
Don't tell anybody.
On
it's
campus?
It's near, right next door to Buckeye Donuts at OSU, and I know people are terrified of parking around there because it's crazy.
Don't park at McDonald's.
They'll tell you.
Well,
now the wife there is the one who does all the greeting and serving, and she is a talker. She'll tell you all about how they got from Hong Kong to Columbus. And her husband actually worked at a very well-known restaurant there. It was so esteemed that he worked pretty much just for food.
Wow.
And he's come here to Columbus, and they're small, but it's very nice inside. I recommend the seafood stuffed eggplant and the Hunan tofu. I believe it's Hunan tofu. Oh, it's so great. You have to go there.
Oh, no, they've got quite the following.
It is another one of those hidden treasures, but we didn't want you to tell people about it because the foodies around town don't tell people about it. We just quietly go there.
It's too small. We can't share that information.
That's right.
All his dumplings are handmade. His sauces are so subtle because it's easy to get sauces or spices in Chinese food that's way overdone. So it's You have to go.
I agree about the dumplings. I'd
love what's the second one now?
Yeah. Bangkok on Refugee and 33.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Been there.
That's a must-go, too. I know people try to brag about all the different Thai restaurants, but I do know the family's actually Laotian, and the guy there that cooks is a genius with the broths. And there's a dish called Yen Ta Pho. That you must try.
No, that place is very good and very authentic as well.
It's also a grocery store.
That's actually one place where my wife, who's half Thai, can find some of the desserts that are very Thai in nature.
Oh,
you can't find other places. Right. You can find them there. That's one thing I'll say.
And I also recommend, of course, everyone must try their pad Thai. But the last time I was there, they outdid themselves. It was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So those are the two most important.
Thank you very much
for your call today, Jane.
You're welcome.
We have about 10 minutes left. Steve is joining us now from Gahanna. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hi.
I want to redirect your attention to a different part of the world. My wife and I, for the first time, tried a place on North High Street just south of Morse Road called Babushka's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
Have you? Yeah. I was interested in finding out what your opinions were before I mentioned what.
No, go ahead.
My wife is half Polish on her father's side, and Slovak on her mother's side, and she had ordered the chicken paprikash because she hadn't had it in quite some time, and she was a little bit disappointed just because she thought maybe the gravy should be a little thinner and maybe a little more sour cream in the dish, but I had the Hunter's Feast, which is kind of a sampler plate, and I enjoyed everything, so, and certainly we took home some kolachkis and lady locks, and all that stuff was just excellent, so.
Yeah, it's in Northern Clintonville, north of Henderson Road and south of Morris on the west side of the street.
Yeah.
It has parking, and it's very popular among people who are of Central European descent because it's pretty authentic. I like the noodles. I thought the chicken pot, I would agree with your wife on the chicken paprikash. The only thing I didn't care much for were the dumplings, which maybe it was just that day that were a little leaden. But if you're into that kind of food, it's worth a try. My friends who are Polish, at least, go there frequently.
Do they? Yeah, we were there fairly early last night. We were the only ones in the place for quite some time.
It's not been busy because it's fairly substantial cuisine, and
it's summertime.
It's not great
it's winter
90
food.
Degrees.
Yeah,
and it was, but shortly after we got there, it started to fill up. So
great.
There was plenty of people there, and it was nice. And I haven't tried it yet, but I think we're going to go back for dessert and coffee sometime and try their sundae, which sounds pretty good.
And what was it?
Apple pierogi sundae.
That does sound good.
Sundae. Pierogies filled with apples and cinnamon and some caramel drizzled on it.
So yeah.
It'd be pretty good.
Nothing wrong with that.
Good. Thank you very much for that recommendation. I think that Babushka's has been open since maybe last winter.
Yeah,
and
they said February 15th. We asked the lady that was at the front counter there last night. They've been open since the mid-February.
And there's another new Polish restaurant in the North Market.
North Market. Right.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes.
We'll get down to do what the name of that one is.
It's not hard to find. It's right around the corner from the North Market Poultry, across from the cookware store.
I had the stuffed cabbage there.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Yeah, they do a great job with that.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve. 292-8513. We have an email from Liz who recommends DeLevy in the Short North, which is kind of a one-man show, I think.
Yeah,
his brother's now working with him.
Two-man show.
I don't know. I was there the other day. It was just Justin again, and he was busy. He had his hands full, but terrific stuff. I always get the chili cheese, crawfish etouffee.
There's another Cajun place.
They do a terrific product,
Should have remembered that,
It's
kind of a hidden treasure. It's
absolutely
a tiny place.
Well, it is in the Short North, so I wouldn't call it hidden, but It's surrounded, small. Maybe. Yeah, it's surrounded by a lot of more well-known places, certainly.
And do they have their cart yet? They were going
to
do a
cart. Yeah, I think they have like a bike cart that they take to like different events and whatnot. Yeah.
In the short north, have you been to Mutal?
Have not.
Cute little place. The guy has been a bartender around town for years. And it's
across from the North Star, right?
I thought
it's
they didn't
famous
do, did they do food
for cocktails. Yes, yep. It's famous for cocktails. Okay. They have some very nice little wine choices, but they have just super high end cheeses, Lana Cristini breads, some sausages, but it's sort of a light bite,
kind of like
for rich,
charcuterie
something
and
light,
and,
right?
And wine. Yep.
No carbo loading there.
292-8513. Mindy on Facebook has recommended the North Star in Clintonville, also in the Short North. And I think they're the owners of 3rd and Hollywood as well.
And Easton. And Easton. Very nice.
Easton.
Very
wonderful.
Nice.
Beautiful restaurant. Yeah.
And the Ab Indian restaurant on Grandview Avenue. And I think, Rich, you have been there. AAB Ab.
Yeah. Oh, Ab Indian. I didn't understand you. I'm sorry. Yeah.
My Indian accent.
It's spelled AAB Indian. And
we accidentally forgot to call Rich the Older.
Yeah, no.
I was going to say, yeah.
No, it was terrific.
Well, apparently you forgot to call me on purpose.
No, we were talking about something completely different.
We wanted lunch, and it's certainly one of the best Indian buffets in town, and that's also Grandview Avenue right around 5th or 3rd.
And that's where Tom's
Tom's used to be.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's been about 30 different things.
Magnolia. Right. Yeah.
292-8513, and Pat is joining us.
This was a
Hi,
year
Pat.
Ago.
Hello. I came to the program late, so I apologize if you already spoke
You're
about
forgiven.
This restaurant. And that is an Indian restaurant up on 161 near Sawmill. And they catered my wife's wedding. Or my wife, excuse me, my daughter's wedding. They catered my daughter's wedding, and I went there for the tasting. And I've been back for a party, and I mean, they were just so gracious and wonderful in educating you about the food and the different levels. And I think it's Taziz, or if you're familiar with the name of the...
Say that again, please.
I wanted to say Taziz.
Don't know it. I was thinking you were going to say Amul India, which is a really good Indian place.
That's up on Sawmill.
Up off Sawmill.
Yeah.
This is on 161 near Sawmill?
This is on 161. Just east of Sawmill.
East of Sawmill. I was just there.
So it's by the Whole Foods, and that.
And
is it near Whole Foods? Is it near Joe's Crab Shack?
I'm really not familiar with the area up there.
Well, if anybody else knows, please call in and let us know. You've stumped us.
Let's spell it now.
I know they were highlighted on one of the local stations in the morning, where they actually brought their kiln with them and cooked their bread and did things like that. But it's not just the food, but the people made me a real fan
of
Indian cuisine.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks very much for that recommendation. And we have a caller. Carol is joining us, who has a question about a rice table, apparently a Dutch restaurant.
A ristafel. I don't.
If
you know of one that's currently in existence,
they come and go.
Yeah, it's a good. You know, it's a great cuisine. It's really it's East Indian, and it's usually served with about 25 condiments on a Lazy Susan in the middle of the table, and you get the various meat dishes or whatever you might, and then add peanuts and coconut and that kind of thing. I don't know of one.
And Carol, are you there?
Flying
Dutchman. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And are you familiar with one, or just the concept?
I lived in the Netherlands for 3 years, and they had the rice tafel there. Yeah. And
that's where I've had it.
There was one in Columbus at one point. But it's been at least probably 15. I just have this vague recollection.
17 at least different dishes. And we only were able to finish one once when our son was 13. But it's really good and it's fun.
Well, we've got some ideas for some entrepreneurs. We can do a rice staple, we can do a Cambodian, we can do a Moroccan restaurant. So,
well, thank you very much for your call today, Carol. 292-8513. We have 3 or 4 minutes left. And Matthew is joining us, who wants to know about Cafe Istanbul. Go ahead.
Yes, Thank you. Cafe Istanbul has a restaurant at Easton and one opening this month down in Bexley.
Right. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, very fond of it. The bread is outstanding, and my favorite's the chicken and doner kebab. What do you think?
I love Cafe Istanbul out at Easton. I'm really looking forward to the one in Bexley opening since it's about a block from my house. Their bread is fantastic. The one thing I always tell people, it is if you're looking for a good sized lunch at a great deal, for $9.99, I think you get like a super salad, and then you can do like the kebabs and a little dessert dish. Plus, they bring out the bread, and it's $9.99. I think Cafe Istanbul does a terrific product, and I think Bexley is lucky to be getting them.
And where will this be in Bexley?
It's at Main and Eau Claire. Right across from the big Starbucks that used to be a bank, and catty corner to the Bexley Public Library.
You reviewed the restaurant.
It used to be Flavors Eatery in that space.
And we had a boomlet of Turkish places about 5 years ago. There was one where Sage's now. There were like five. There was one up in our neck of the woods in the Northwest, but we're down to just a few real Turkish restaurants now. There's that one over on Worthington Woods Boulevard that's been there off and on forever, but it's good to have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call. We are now joined by John, and I'm going to ask you to try and be brief. We have just about two and a half minutes here.
Hello, boys. It's John Marshall. How are you doing?
Good, hey, John. How are you?
Good. Wait, Silver, when are you going to take me out to dinner? I'm getting hungry listening to you guys talk.
Well, I'm always willing to go if you pay, John, since you have the deep pockets at Columbus Monthly.
That's right. Hey, as you know, the Ristoffel is a product of colonialism, not an invention of the Dutch, per se. It's an amalgamation. There used to be an Indonesian restaurant up in Carriage Place that would do a version of it, not maybe with 25 condiments, but... I can't recall the name. Does anybody know offhand if Velvet's still open?
That's the one I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, we couldn't think of it. Yeah,
that may still be open up at Carriage Place, serves Indonesian food. Hey, a couple of things real quick. I wanted to hear you all tell me what you think, if you've been yet, of Ravage Atlantique in Worthington. I don't know if anyone's been there yet.
Ravage?
Yeah, it's an Atlantic seafood.
And that's the new restaurant that was opened by the owners of the Grandview Cafe, I think.
Is it the place right across from Worthington Inn?
It was Daniela's.
Yes. It was Cafe Daniela. I haven't tried it yet.
By the House Wine. Now, did you send me the menu, John? I got a menu, and it had some initials on it that were illegible, and I wondered if
it was... That might have been the other John. That might have been Christian.
Okay.
I can't comment on it since we're going to be working on it, but I just wanted to know if you guys have been there.
They have not, but...
Well... Let's go all together, and we'll do a food fight.
And you pay.
We'll get Christensen to pay.
Hey, there you go.
He's got deep pockets.
There we go. Hey, finally, I noticed that Nasser Latif at Lavash is bringing in whole snapper on the weekend.
Yes. Oh, terrific.
Yes.
Doing a beautiful dish with it. I walked in there with the kids the other day. He's got a grape arbor over the back, sort of side patio where you can sit outdoors with.
Right, it's finally matured enough to keep the sun away.
He's very proud of it. He took us out there to see it and then handed us some pita.
Yeah, he picked grapes for the kids, and that's a fun place to take the kids.
You great
have
guy.
Grapes drop on your head while you're eating.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, John.
This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media. This has been All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We've been talking with our reviewers, Rich Terapak and his son, Rich, along with Steve Stover, who writes about food and restaurants for Edible Columbus and City Scene magazine. And, of course, there we had an extra treat talking with John Marshall of Columbus Monthly. We'll be back again in September. News is next from NPR.